During our Sunday evening messages, we are examining the very familiar lines of Psalm 23. Many of us know the psalm by heart, but it is that familiarity that can work against us. We can rattle off the words and we're not even thinking about what we're saying. So I'd like to really examine what this very brief psalm has to say. And tonight we are into verse 2. So Psalm 23 and verse 2. By the way, I mentioned the familiarity of some passages and how we know them so well it can kind of lose its meaning. One way to get around that is to find a different translation of the Bible than you're used to using. When it says it in different words, you have to stop and think about it more. And so I would challenge you, if you have the opportunity, I know we have a number of various Bible translations in our library, check one out. If you have an app on your phone that has the Bible, you probably have access to several different English translations. Try that out. See what Psalm 23 sounds like in a different version, and it might give you a different perspective on what the psalm has to say. Psalm 23, verse 2, says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." And tonight I want to look at green pastures and still waters. The abundant resources for the sheep, the appropriate responses of the sheep, and the apparent reality for the saints. So the abundant resources for the sheep. Here they are mentioned as green pastures and still waters. Now immediately we think of the necessities of food and water. Sheep need it, so do we. We're not going to last very long without these necessities. But I want you to notice that it's not just food and water. Both of these nouns are qualified by adjectives. Green pastures, still waters. And especially in the perspective of a shepherd and his sheep, both of those concepts are very important. It shows that the resources are abundant. God is not just giving us the bare minimum. He isn't just giving us enough to get by. He provides abundantly. Consider Ezekiel 34, verses 14 and 15. Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning in verse 14. The Lord says, "I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord." Again, not just pasture land, but rich pasture, green pastures. And if anybody has ever been to Israel or that part of the world, green pastures are not that prevalent. We look around in the Midwest and it seems like everything's green, right? Lots of grass and lots of fields, and green is kind of the overriding color, but not necessarily in Israel. Remember, it's a very dry climate, and in many places, you don't have those lush green pastures, and sometimes the shepherd has to look for them, or maybe he knows where they are by experience, and he leads his sheep into those places. These words describe something that is abundant. And in John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it to the full." The King James uses the word abundantly. Have you ever thought of that? God has come to give us life, abundant life. So in Psalm 23, when it speaks of green pastures, it is signifying plenty. God is generous in His giving. His love bears the characteristic of unrestrained lavishness. He's not holding back on us. He's not skimping out on us. God is there to provide for our needs. Now, as we said last week, don't take that too far. I know there are some that, you know, will take that concept and say, oh, well, God wants us all to be wealthy. No, that's obviously not the case, because that's not our experience. And it's not because you don't have enough faith. Don't even get me started on that. But God knows what we need, and He will provide what we need. And we can take comfort in the knowledge of that fact. Now, back in Psalm 23, we come to the phrase, still waters. And we say, what's the significance of still? Some other translations use the word quiet. Quiet waters. That's very important, because sheep are frightened by running water. If you have a creek or a river where there's a current, if it's a shallow creek and there's rocks in the riverbed and it has some ripples, or, you know, that it's making a little bit of noise, frankly, I love that noise. You know, I love, you know, to just watch a brook and it's, you know, make it, to me, that's a great noise. Not so much for sheep. They don't like it at all. That scares them. And a shepherd knows that. So a shepherd knows that he needs to find or even create places of still water for the flock. Literally in this verse, it is waters that have been stilled. Because you can find puddles, like mud puddles, and they're not healthy. Those aren't good. It's not fresh water. This is fresh water that has been stilled. The idea is a shepherd has led his sheep to a place, maybe it's a river or stream, and it has a current, and the sheep are hesitant to go to it. And so the shepherd steps in, and with his rod and with his staff, maybe he'll loosen a few large stones, kind of make a little dam where the water can come in and gather, and it's not rushing by. Now it is still. And the sheep will go and drink their full. So in the midst of a rushing stream, the shepherd provides refreshment for the flock by the water that he has stilled. And this is important, because when sheep are thirsty, they become restless. They set out searching for water. And if they're not led to good, clean water, they'll often end up drinking from polluted potholes where they pick up internal parasites and other diseases. Remember, we've said in the last couple weeks, sheep aren't all that bright. So they're just going to drink anywhere they can find it. And oftentimes, it's not a good source. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, recalls, "They remind me very much of a bunch of sheep I watched one day that were being led to a magnificent mountain stream. The snow-fed waters were flowing pure and clear and crystal clean between the lovely banks of trees. But on the way, several stubborn ewes and their lambs stopped instead to drink from small, dirty, muddy pools beside the trail. Instead of waiting a little bit to get to the good stuff, they're just going to drink from these little holes of muddy water that who knows what's in them, and it's probably not good. So this is why the shepherd leads beside still waters, because sheep can't make water still. Sheep don't have the intelligence or the physical attributes to still water, but the shepherd does. So what the sheep needs to do is to follow the shepherd to the right supply of water. Furthermore, the still waters are wells and springs where sheep can drink without being rushed. Again, sheep don't like to be rushed. And having these places allows them to drink in and enjoy it and to leisurely be refreshed. And the Lord says in Isaiah 32:18, "My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest." That's what the Lord promises to His people. And even in the midst of war, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of literal storms, we can still find those places of peace. Because where the Lord is, there is peace. And the storms may be raging on the outside, but we can still have peace on the inside. A shepherd knows that sheep need food, they need water, but they also need rest. It's very good for their health and their well-being. And now, doctors and psychologists are discovering just how much human beings need rest as well. And how a lack of rest can lead to so many physiological and psychological problems. Just because we don't take the time to rest. But rest is something that God promises to us. I'd like to move on now to the appropriate responses of the sheep. And I want you to go back to that first phrase in verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures." The image of sheep lying down evokes the idea of rest. It's not healthy for sheep to constantly be moving. They need to lie down and chew their food. Sheep chew cud just like a cow does. And that takes time. They don't just rush through. I remember growing up, and we had a really, really bad habit of eating fast. And there are times when I still fall into that bad habit. Because we were always rushing to something else. I used to kid that I had to eat fast because otherwise there wouldn't be any food left. But the reality was we were always so busy. We were going from one thing to another. And so when it was time to eat, we had to just hurry up and shovel it in and off we go. And again, that's not good for you. That brings up some physiological issues of its own. So we need to have those times where we lie down in order to rest, but also as part of our nourishment. According to Keller, the strange thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it is almost impossible for them to lie down unless four requirements have been met. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free of all fear. If sheep have something that frightens them, they are not going to lie down. They're just going to be constantly on the move. Because of the social behavior within the flock, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction from the others. So if a couple of sheep aren't getting along, they're not going to lie down because they're afraid the other one's going to try to do something to them or take something from them. So they have to be free from fear, they have to be free from friction, and then they have to be free from fleas or parasites, free from the pests that come along and try to bother them. And then finally, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel the need of finding food. So as long as they're still hungry or still thirsty, they're not going to lie down. They're going to be restless. So they need to be free from fear, free from friction, free from pests, free from hunger and thirst in order for them to truly lie down. And I think that says a lot about people too. We need to be free from those as well. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. The basic necessities of life. And he's saying, don't worry about those things. Why? Because he says, your heavenly Father knows you need them. So don't get all worked up about what we need. God is going to provide. You say, yeah, but what if I want more? What if I want more than what I have? Paul says in Philippians 4:11, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And then he writes in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. So learning to be content, learning to appreciate what we have and what God provides us goes a long way in our spiritual lives. We can appreciate what we have, and we can find that place of peace. Now, I want you to notice something else about the beginning of Psalm 23:2. Notice it says, He makes me lie down. The verb there is very interesting. He, the shepherd, makes me lie down. And there are times when the shepherd has to literally do that. Sheep are frequently alarmed and they actually run over each other, racing away from something that startles them. And the shepherd will come along and gently but firmly force the sheep to lie down and feed quietly the grass beneath its feet. And I wonder sometimes how often that happens in our lives. We're racing around, we're running around, running into each other, running over each other. And God says, you need to lie down. You need to stop. And how does God do that? Oh, he has a variety of ways of doing that, doesn't he? Sometimes he'll use an illness or maybe an accident and an injury that forces us to stop, forces us to slow down, forces us to lean on him. So the first appropriate response of the sheep is to accept what God provides without worrying about what we have or what somebody else has. Jesus invites us in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary, who are burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. So the appropriate response of the sheep is to lie down, to rest, to accept what God has provided, and to look to him for our provisions. The second part of the verse reveals another action of the shepherd. Notice it says, he leads me beside the still waters. And the verb here in the original language literally means to lead gently. You know what the difference is between a shepherd and a cowboy? A shepherd leads his sheep, a cowboy drives his herds. One is out front leading the way, the other is from behind pushing them forward. And the reason shepherds lead instead of drive is because you can't drive sheep. Kind of like herding cats, but that's another story. It just can't be done. But the shepherd gets out in front and says, follow me. I will lead you to where you need to go. You just follow me. And just as the sheep hears the shepherd's voice and follows, So we are called to listen to Christ and to obey His word. We know that if a sheep goes astray, the shepherd leaves the flock in charge of the helpers. He goes and finds that lost sheep. But how much better to not get lost in the first place if we would just follow where He leads. So the second appropriate response of the sheep is to follow the shepherd. Unfortunately, that's not in sheep's DNA. That doesn't come naturally. Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way, right? That's the nature of sheep. We always think we're Ford. We've got a better idea, right? I got this. I know what I need to do. And we set off on our own instead of following the shepherd. When Jesus called his disciples, what is the recurring phrase that he used over and over and over? Follow me. Came to James and John, follow me. To Simon and Andrew, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He went to Matthew at the tax collector's booth, follow me. And he left it all behind and followed Jesus. In some places where the word Christian has been reduced to something less than positive, they rather use the term Christ follower. I like it. That's what a Christian should be. We should be Christ followers. Not out there leading our own way or trying to lead others. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. If you're going to follow somebody, you better be sure they're following Christ, or else you're going to end up just as lost as everybody else. So following Jesus. Mark 8:34, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In John 12:26, he said, whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant will also be. You want to know how to be close to Jesus? Follow him. You know how to get away from Jesus? Don't follow him. If we go our own way, all of a sudden, where's the shepherd? But if we're following him, we'll always know that he is near. Back in John chapter 10, where Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd, he says he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger's voice. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. We follow our shepherd. We listen to his voice. You say, well, how do I hear his voice? Right here. The word of God will show us the way to go. In verse 22 of that same chapter, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. You want to know if someone's truly a Christian? Who are they following? Are they following the shepherd? Or are they going their own way? See, if we're not following Jesus, what does that say about us? Ultimately, it says we're not his sheep. If we're not resting in Jesus, that means that either we don't trust him to take care of us, or we think we can do it better on our own. And we've never been more like sheep than we think something like that. Because the abundant resources that we see here in Psalm 23, those green pastures, those still waters, God provides us with plenty. He provides us with peace. We have everything we need in him. So the appropriate responses of the sheep are to lie down and rest in his provisions and to follow him where he is leading. As the old hymn puts it, I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow. Follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. So let's conclude with the apparent reality for the saints. How does this apply to us today? Well, I think it's interesting the way this psalm begins. It's not talking about something we need to do actively. It's talking about resting. And the thing about the Christianity is it's not about what we do, it's what Christ has done. Religions are all about do this, do that, do. Sounds like Baby Shark song, which I won't get into. That's not Christianity. Christianity is not based on what we do. It's not about how good we are. Thank God. Because if it was, we would have no hope. So this begins with the idea of rest. We rest on the Lord. We trust in him. It's faith. And what are we saved by? We're saved by grace through faith. So that's really where it all begins. Are we resting in Christ? Have we found Jesus to be the provider of all that we need? Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never thirst. In the very next chapter, John 7, verse 37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And before he was crucified, he told his disciples in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Those peaceful waters, those green pastures, when it comes to sheep, a flock that is restless, discontented, agitated, disturbed, it never does well. And the same is true for people. In the Christian life, there is no substitute for that keen awareness that the Good Shepherd is nearby. Knowing that Jesus is always with us, there is just no substitute for that. There's nothing like Christ's presence to dispel the fear and the panic, the terror of the unknown. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. I actually like the King James Version there, sound mind. That's the spirit he has given us. In another psalm, David wrote, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You ever had those times in your life where you just can't sleep? You just can't turn your mind off? It's just churning and going through all these things? The shepherd can give you peace, because when we trust in him, there's no need to fear. So from Psalm 23:2, we see that I will not lack provision. Why? He leads me beside the green, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I won't lack peace. Why? Because he leads me beside the still waters. Christ, our good shepherd, made it clear that thirsty souls of men and women can only be satisfied when their capacity, their thirst for spiritual life is fully quenched, drawing on him. He is all that we need. And when we realize that, it brings us that peace. It brings us that fulfillment and that refreshment that we need to go on. I know earlier I quoted the words of an old hymn. I'd like to conclude with the words of another. It's not as well known, but I think it is so beautifully illustrates this point. It goes like this. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. And the chorus says, all in all forever, Jesus will I sing, everything in Jesus, and Jesus everything. I think sometimes the reason why we struggle as Christians is because we want the things that Jesus provides more than we want Him. We want the stuff more than we want the shepherd. And we get it backwards. Because when we have the Savior, we have all those other things that come along with. But if we're looking for the other things and not the Savior, we won't have any of it. And I think a lot of people that are dissatisfied as Christians, and they bounce from church to church to church and from ministry to ministry and this, that, and the other because it's not meeting my needs. Well, maybe they've got the cart before the horse. Maybe they're looking for the gifts instead of the giver. Maybe they're looking for all that comes with Christ without Christ. And that will never happen. It's only when we put our faith in the shepherd, it's only when we follow the shepherd that we will experience all of that He offers. Remember verse 1. I can only say I shall not lack if the Lord is my shepherd. I will only enjoy those green pastures and the still waters if I have my faith in Him and if I'm following Him. That's how it works. There is no other way. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your timeless word. These lyrics that were written thousands of years ago still resonate today because they are true. We need You. More than we need anything, we need You. And until we find You, we will not enjoy anything. I pray that You will help us to understand the difference, to not be so interested in the gifts that we miss the giver, to know that we won't find the green pastures and the still waters on our own, but if we trust and follow our shepherd, He will provide all that we need. May we experience the abundance You have designed for our lives as we faithfully follow the Good Shepherd. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.